Thank you, choir. I'm glad His Majesty is in this place. Take your Bibles now. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. I believe that we have, more than anybody in the world, God's children, have reasons to be joyful, to be happy, to be very positive in our lives. And I believe that that joy comes mainly because of our justification. And that's what I want to speak to you about for just a few minutes. The joy, or the joys of justification. Justification is an important word that reminds us that those who are saved, because of God's finished work, we are justified before God. Some might say, just as if I'd never sinned. But we know that if we are born again, if we are saved, the Bible term, one of the terms is that we are justified. Everything's okay. We're accepted by God. We are in His family. We're born again. We have been justified. The child of God has great blessings as a result of justification. Let's look at these verses just a moment. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. You follow as I read these. Therefore, being justified, not hoping to be justified, but being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope and of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, that is the justified persons, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Now let's go back and analyze these verses for the next few minutes and see some of the joys of justification, some of the benefits of justification. Go back to verse 1 and look at what he says. Therefore, being justified. Now let me just stop there a moment. First, you got to be saved. Amen? Amen? You have to be born again. And he tells us as we go through these verses how that happens. You have to realize you're a sinner, believe Jesus paid your sin debt, come to a place in your life where you're willing to repent of your sins and turn to Christ and ask Him to come into your heart and trust nothing whatsoever other than that to get you to heaven. And then you can say, I have been justified. Totally, completely, absolutely, without reservation, I have been justified by the grace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have to believe. It takes faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Without faith, you can't believe what God said about His Son. I wasn't there, were you? But I do believe it happened. And I believe it because of the Word of God. Dr. Barber and I were talking in my office just before we came out, and he was talking about what a wonderful story that was about Abraham and Isaac in Genesis. And we agreed that that's one of the best stories in the Bible. And I said, you know, it's almost hard to believe. And he said, yeah, if it wasn't in the Bible, we wouldn't believe it. Well, the fact that Jesus died on the cross and took our place is almost hard to believe. I wasn't there, but I believe that Jesus died for me in my place as my substitute, and it takes faith to believe that. And I believe it, and I hope you do. Therefore, being justified by faith, now here we go. We have peace with God. One of the great joys of justification is we have peace with God. You see, before you get saved, you're at enmity with God. But thank God, once you get saved, you are at peace with God. There's peace with God. There is the peace of God. The peace of God is what we have when, as believers, we're walking in fellowship with Him. But the peace with God that we're talking about here, this is the peace that we get through Jesus Christ. Peace. That's a good word, isn't it? Peace. Everybody's wanting peace, and we'd like to see peace. And I'd like to see world peace. But it'll never happen until the Prince of Peace comes back. But you can have peace in your heart. I'm glad today, no matter what's going on in our world, I have peace with God. I'm justified. Everything's all right. I'm at peace. I have peace in my soul. Unsaved people don't have that peace. They just don't have it. Oh, they may cover it up with a lot of laughter and a lot of partying and a lot of other things, maybe some booze and other things. They may cover it all up, but they don't have real peace until they're justified, until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have peace today? Do you have peace about your life? Do you have peace about eternity? Do you have peace about where you're going? We have that peace through Jesus Christ. What a benefit. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God, and obviously it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing we have, verse 2 tells us, is access. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. I'm glad I have access before God. I have access to the presence of God right now because I'm God's child. What a great privilege that I can get on my knees as I did early this morning in my little study at home and went right before the throne of God. And I trust that many of you did the very same thing, that you had your prayer time this morning. God's never too busy. Sometimes I have to say to the secretary, sort of protect me. I've got some things I've got to do. And if I don't get them done, the main things aren't going to get done. I like people and I like to help people and be around people and all of that kind of thing. But sometimes I say that there are times that there just cannot be that access to the pastor immediately because of other circumstances. But God's never too busy. We can always go to Him anytime, anywhere, and go to Him in prayer. We have access before Him through the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith into this grace wherein we stand. Access. I'm also glad I have future access. Not only in this life, but one of these days I'll be there in person. I'll be before the throne of God. I'll be in heaven. I'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be in His presence because of what He's done for me. I have access now, and I have the promise of the future where I will be with Him. Do you know that you're going to be with Him? Do you know you're going to have that access in the future? What a future promise that is given to the child of God because of our justification. We have access right now, and we'll have access in the future. Not only that, we have hope. He says in that verse, another benefit by whom we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand and rejoice in hope. Look at those two words there, we stand. He doesn't say we hope we stand. He didn't say maybe we're standing there. He's saying I'm standing there. I'm justified. I have a position that is safe because I am in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am standing there today because of God's grace. I have security. He didn't say we can lose it, we get it and lose it, or that we have to worry about it. I'm glad for the eternal security of the believer. Eternal security. You give it whatever tag you want. If you're a child of God, you have a standing that the unsaved do not have. You belong to the King of all ages. You are His, He is yours, and that standing will never change. We stand and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Right now I'm standing in Him, and I have that perfect hope. You know, Titus talks about that hope that blessed hope. He doesn't mean by that, I sure hope it'll work out all right. I sure hope maybe I'll get to heaven. I sure hope Jesus will come again. I sure hope I will be there. That's not what he's talking about. It is a positive hope. It is a sure hope. It is an exact hope. It is saying that I know it to be a fact, and therefore my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. That is my hope today for any good thing in the future of my life. I have hope, present hope. Not only that, he says that we have triumph in trouble. Look at verse 3. And not only so, he's building on that foundation of justification. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also. How can you glory in tribulation? Who wants to do that? The child of God can. Why? Because no matter what you're going through, no matter the problems, no matter the trials, no matter the difficulties, you, by the grace of God, because you are justified, you can triumph in trouble. Glory in tribulation. That wouldn't be true if you weren't saved. If you were not saved, you wouldn't be able to say, I can glory in tribulation. You could say, this is a miserable life, like a lot of people who don't know Christ, and they are unhappy and miserable because of the problems and trials of life. And isn't it amazing that even the atheists blame God for all the problems? They blame God for it. Well, I'm glad that we have triumph in trouble. We're going to have some troubles in this life, but because we're saved, we can triumph. Because we're saved, we can go through them. Because we're saved, we can make it through them. Thank God that we can glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience worketh hope. There we are, back to that blessed hope. Thank God for the fact that in our tribulations, God is trying to make us more like Christ, forming us into the image of His Son. He allows those things in our lives not to hurt us, but to help us. And we have triumph in trouble. If you're justified today, you can say that. You can say Romans 8:28. You can claim that as your verse in those times of trouble. And then we have love. In verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. Thank God we have love. That's a benefit. You see, the only way you're going to love unlovely people is through Jesus Christ. There's no love. There are three words for love. One of them has to do with a sexual, erotic connotation, eros. And then you have agape, and that's sort of like brother for brother, or husband for wife. And then are the other word for love. And then there's the word that is agape love, that is talking about the fact that no matter what, we're going to love people, and we're going to love people because of Christ's love flowing through us. That's the only way we'll be able to do that. Does the Bible say, love your enemies? How are you going to love your enemies? The only way you can love your enemies is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way. He moves in. He gives us that ability to love a lost and dying world. He gives us that ability to love people that are not too lovely. It all comes because He loves us. And if you and I can take His love, believe in His love, and accept His love, then we should be channels of blessing that His love would go through us. And God wants us to have that. We have love. What a benefit. We have His love. I'm glad He loves me today. I'm glad I'm on the winning side. I'm glad He loves me. And though I may not always be what I ought to be and should be, and though I may not be everything that God wants me to be, He still loves me. And it is a love that is an unqualified love. I don't have to jump through hoops. I don't have to perform everything to have His love. I have it because of His grace. And it never leaves me. Thank God for His love. And then we have the Holy Spirit. Verse 5 says, this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost are one and the same. Jesus went away. He said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send someone in my place. And we sing the song, "The Comforter has come. The Comforter has come." Who are we talking about? We're talking about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, one and the same. And the very moment you get saved, I mean the instant you get saved, the Holy Spirit moves in. You don't have to go somewhere and pray for 24 hours. You don't have to wait 6 months. The Holy Spirit of God is promised to every believer. He comes into your heart. He begins to indwell your life. Thank God He seals you until the day your redemption is completed. Guarantees as a down payment that you're going to make it to heaven. The Holy Spirit of God indwells us. We have Him in us today. The problem is not that we've got to pray Him down. The problem is we've got to pray ourselves into His will and do what He wants us to do. The challenge is that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, that we are filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit indwells you. The Holy Spirit is a comforter. When there are trials and troubles, when there's death, when there are problems, the Holy Spirit is the one who gives the comfort. I can tell you there's a big difference, a major difference, in the lives of people who give up a loved one who are not saved and in the lives of somebody who gives up a loved one who knows Jesus Christ. You can sense it in the viewing. You can sense it in the funeral. You can sense it when you preach the memorial service. There's a difference. Why? Because the Holy Spirit of God lives in every believer. And I'm glad today that He lives in me. He comforts us. He convicts us. He is the one that tells us when we're out of the will of the Father. Along with the Word of God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And you say, "Preacher, I can sin and it doesn't bother me. I can do all that, it doesn't bother me. I don't think anything about it. I just keep going." If I were you, I'd come back down to the altar and get saved. Amen. Because if sin doesn't bother you, the Holy Spirit is not indwelling you, because sin disturbs the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, oh, how many times do I thank God for the checking of the Holy Spirit? When the old devil would say, "Do this, do that, do the other," the temptations that come in life, the trials and all of that, and the devil tries to defeat us, but thank God the Holy Spirit is there, and He is saying ever so quietly maybe, but ever so strongly in our hearts, "Don't do that. Do this. Follow God. Follow the Word of God." And then another benefit we have is deliverance from wrath. Look at verse 9. Deliverance from wrath. Much more then, being now justified. There it again, you're already justified. You're already saved. You've already been born again. You have a time and a place. You know when it happened. You know you were born again. Much more then, being now justified. And notice that next little phrase, by His blood. We should never forget the blood of Jesus Christ. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers our sins. It is the blood of Jesus Christ that satisfies the demands of God. His blood is sinless blood. His blood is pure blood. His blood was the blood not of somebody that had the seed in him of Adam, because he did not. He was birthed by the Holy Spirit of God. He did not have the taint of sin in his body. He lived a perfect life. He shed his blood. And that's the only thing that God, holy God, will accept in order for us to get to heaven. Amen. The shed blood of Jesus Christ. Much more than being now justified by His blood. Not church membership, not baptism, not your good works. Justified by His blood, plus nothing, minus nothing. And because of that, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Saved from wrath. People make fun of the fact that we say you need to be saved. You know, I've had people say, "Saved from what?" And you say, "Well, I'm not even lost." What are you talking about, being saved? Everybody's lost until they come to Jesus Christ. They need to be born again. They need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the penalty of sin. Saved from the wrath. As I told you recently, hell is real. And we think God is some old man with a cane, with a long white beard, sort of like Santa Claus, and he's a little feeble, and he's just a loving person. God is love. Oh, I'm glad He's love. We know He's love. But He's just. He is righteous. And sin has to be paid for. And that's the wrath of God. You think God is always just dealing in love. You're wrong. Read the Old Testament. Read what's going to happen in the tribulation. Read what's coming down the pike. For those who reject God and refuse God. For those who take the mark of the beast. For those who are people who follow Antichrist. Jesus is going to mount that white steed and come back and pour out His wrath on this earth. And all unbelievers, they're not there yet in that particular place, but they're going to be cast along with the hell and the devil into the lake of fire, and that is the wrath of God. But hey, we're not going to have to do that. If we're saved and justified, we're not going to have to face the wrath of God. And I think this is a proof text also for the fact that we as believers who are the bride of Christ, make up the bride of Christ, I don't think we will have to go through the tribulation. Amen. We'll be raptured. We'll be out of here, taken up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is very clear about the fact that the dead in Christ are going to rise first. Christ comes in the air for His saints. And then the dead in Christ rise first, and we which remain and are alive at that time will be changed and translated. If it happened right now, we'd all be going up. The graves would open of those that are saved, and we'd go to be with the Lord, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the judgment seat of Christ. 7 years later, we come back with Him, and He sets up His kingdom, but He pours out His wrath. Once and for all, He'll get rid of all of the things that are against Him and all of sin. And I don't believe we, the bride of Christ, will go through the tribulation. If you're mid-trib, post-trib, amillennialist, or anything else like that, let me tell you, you'll get it right when you get to heaven. But I believe what the Bible says. The bride of Christ, the church, the living, the people who are saved in this church age, we're not going to go through the tribulation. Well, I know some of you think, well, I'm in pretty much of a mess now. You don't know what you're talking about in comparison to what that's going to be. We better thank God today that one of the benefits of being justified is we will not have to go through the tribulation. We will not, we are saved from the wrath through Him. Be saved from wrath through Him. Verse 10 again takes us back to the main thing about justification, the joy of it. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. There it is again. You cannot get away from the death of His Son. You can't get away from the blood. Quit trying to get to heaven by your good deeds. Quit trying to get to heaven by all these other things. It's His death. It's His substitutionary death. It is His blood. That's the only way to get to heaven. No other religion. It's only through Jesus. For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. If you're justified today, you have a lot of benefits, don't you? Isn't it great to be saved, to be justified, to know you belong to the Lord, to know you're His child, and that all of these benefits right here that He's listed so succinctly and put them right together real close, that all of these are ours if we're justified. Preacher, how do I get justified? I've tried to make it pretty clear. But let me say one more time. Number one, you're a sinner. You say, you don't even know me. I don't have to know you. I don't have to know anybody. I know the Bible says we're all sinners. That's all I need to know. You are a sinner, no matter how morally good you are. You must be born again. Jesus said that to Nicodemus. The only way to be born again, the only way to have that spiritual birth, where the spiritual part of you that is dead comes alive, called the new birth, is through Jesus Christ. Don't just say, well, I'll be a Baptist and they'll take me to heaven. I think I know some Baptists probably not going to make it. They have the title, but they don't have the life. But I'm telling you, we need Jesus. And that's the only way. And then if you are justified and you have all of these benefits, what do you think God wants us to do with them? sit and soak, or love Him so much for what He's given us that we say, as Paul did, that I want to present my body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto You, which is my reasonable service. Thank God for the benefits of justification. Thank God for the plan, the simple plan of how to be justified before God. If you haven't done that, do it today. And dear believer, that says to me and to you, we don't need to have sin in our lives. We need to live our lives for Christ. Holy God, who justified us, we need to give Him our best, give Him everything for His honor and for His glory, to serve Him with all of our heart, to judge anything in our lives that He's spoken to our hearts about. And through the power of the One who lives within us, the Holy Spirit, we today can be overcomers of anything that we're struggling with. May God help you to do that. Let's stand, please. The joys of justification. If you cannot say, preacher, I know I'm right with God. I know I'm justified. I know I've been saved the Bible way. I'm going to heaven. I want you to step out. If you would, somebody down front will show you. We want you to step out from where you are. Just walk down the front. Nobody's going to laugh at you or make fun of you. Somebody will take the Bible and show you how to be saved. And we're asking you to do that. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father, which is in heaven. And if you've been saved and you hadn't made it public, you should do that. That's the principle of the Word of God. Christian, is there a need in your life? May God help you that it be met. Lord, thank You for the beautiful Word of God. Thank You for all the benefits we have because of justification. Thank You that it brings us joy, the joy that only You can give. I pray that if there's a Christian here who's lost the joy, they'd come get that joy back and rededicate their lives today. I pray for unsaved people that they would come and receive Christ. I pray that You would encourage our hearts today during our trials and problems to know that we're Your children and the Holy Spirit is there to comfort us and that we can have victory in tribulation. May Your will be done now. In Christ's name we pray.